Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Specters, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, Tom. I'm here with Sam, and we are diving back into more Liara. We've had so much Liara to talk about recently, but we're back.
I told you it was going to be a lot of fucking Liara.
Wow, that's the After Dark cast.
For some of our fans, there's a lot of fucking... We might as well just go full into the explicit tag. For some of our fans, there's a lot of that. And for all other fans, there's just a lot of Liara.
Yeah. So in general, there's a lot of Liara in Mass Effect. And we are going into Shadow Broker stuff, right? Where she promised to hunt down the Shadow Broker. So that's where we're going with this episode. Where do we start?
Yeah, so Shepard goes to Liara's office on Ilium. If you remember, that's where most of those scenes were when we were talking about her last time. And so Shepard returns, and Shepard's telling her that Cerberus supplied a lead on where to find the broker. And it was this intercepted message that Shepard got and Cerberus got between these two broker agents. And Liara tells us that it included actually a mention of Farron in that message. And that's all she needs. That's all she needs, you know, to get hooked on the mission. And they are off, right?
And they're off.
You know, cue the, what's that song that goes...
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Whatever that's
they're
called.
Off to
I don't
the
even
races.
Know what that's called. Yeah, they're off to the... It's the race... It's the... You make it... You think of horses. It's the horse song.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
It's my horse noise. So... You know, there's no more convincing of Liara that's needed. She is down to go. And then, interestingly, Liara actually discloses to Shepard, here's where she says it, that here's how you're alive right now.
Why did the Shadow Broker want my corpse?
He was going to sell you to the collectors, but Farron and I stopped him. Farron sacrificed himself to save me.
So you rescued me. Then how did I end up with Cerberus?
Well, they gave me intel to help recover you. They actually put Farron with me in the first place. After I got out, I gave you to them. They said they could bring you back.
You kept me out of the Collector's hands. Without you, I couldn't have come back. Thank you.
You don't know what that means to me, Shepard. I didn't know who you'd be when you came back. If you'd feel... They brought you back, and now they're giving me a chance to find Farron.
I'm so distracted. I'm so sorry. I'm so distracted by the way the Shepherd looks in this clip. It's not a normal Shepherd. He's got stuff on his face and
yeah.
But
thank you to Rabid Retrospect Games for that clip. We are not here to roast your Shepherd.
No, I'm not. I don't want to roast your Shepherd. It was an unexpected, like, different version of Shepherd. Sometimes you never know when you play the clips. We play through lots of clips, and you never know if it's going to be the standard looking male Shep, it's going to be femme Shep, if it's going to be some abomination.
Custom
Shep. No, this is just a custom. Yeah. This is not an abomination. It's just a custom Shep, but he's a little bit different than I expected. Anyway, so let's talk about the tension in this dialogue.
Yeah, there's so many breathy pauses, right? And this is kind of the culmination of everything that we were dancing around the last time we talked about Liara, where it was like, Liara, just tell him. Like, tell him everything that you did that was effectively explained in the Mass Effect Redemption comic, right?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, it feels like there's a lot of pent up emotion in this, and a lot of, like,
pent up emotion is the perfect way to describe basically the entire DLC of Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Pent up emotion, the DLC.
It is. And we'll get more into that as this goes on. But, you know, Liara has been holding the styrofoam under the surface, and she still very much is at this point. But she's slowly letting it up just enough to, like, clue Shepard in, I think, because she thinks that Shepard deserves more answers than Shepard's getting. And I think that she's also concerned about the influence that Cerberus has on Shepard. So I think she also simultaneously wants to remind Shep, hey, you know, Cerberus had the technology to bring you back, but it's because of me.
Right. Yeah, it feels like there's some care being given into his actual, I mean, you see this a lot in Mass Effect 2, the debate that so many people have of, like, oh, you're with Cerberus now? What's the deal with that? There's a little bit of that hesitation as well in this, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. But I also think that Liara knows Shepard, or at least thinks she knows Shepard better than to just assume that Shepard is this, you know, human supremacist now. Or maybe that's the way that you play your Shepard. I don't know if that's the way that you play your Shepard.
I don't think it's so much that she assumes that he's changed, but just more careful that could be a possibility, even though she doesn't have evidence for it.
Right. Yeah. She's being careful. Also, she's just been taught to be careful with her work as an information broker these past 2 years. So interesting to note there at the end of that, she's got Shepard's dog tags on her desk. I don't think that's like the behavior of a strictly platonic friend.
Yeah, or maybe if your best friend, but you would probably reserve that for, like, the very closest people to you.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, maybe like your super duper best friend that you knew for a long time. And, like, yeah. I guess I get it. You know, if this is someone that you served with, right?
Right.
And then they perish in service.
Right. The guy who took the bullet for you, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But it's, again, another example of how Liara cares about Shepard, apparently far more than the average squad mate from Mass Effect did.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it reinforces that whole, like, Liara as the second main character of the show kind of feeling.
Definitely. You know, the fact that, like, you know, Tally didn't keep Shepard's dog tags or Shepard's, you know, memorabilia, or, you know, Garrus didn't either, even though he's our bro. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she ultimately tells Shepard that she needs to go home and she needs to prepare for this mission, and that, you know, Shep, just come meet me at my apartment. And so we take a cab over to her place, and the crap hits the fan right away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the time that it takes for us to go directly to the taxi, someone has already hit her apartment in an apparent assassination attempt. There's bullet holes in the glass. There's crime tape everywhere. And now there's cops poking around, treating it like a crime scene.
Yeah. So here's the scene.
Seal off those trace samples and get them back to the lab.
We got multiple shots fired. Yeah, techs are going over the place now.
Central, we got an open carrier on this end, switching to a coded relay.
What's going on?
This area is sealed off. Please step back, sir.
Sealed off? Why?
Someone tried to kill your friend, Commander Shepard. Thank you, officer. Your people are dismissed.
You can't do that.
Already done.
Already done. Yeah.
Already done. So, I know that this is a podcast primarily, but right, I want to talk about the cinematics of these shots.
Yeah. Let's explain it for everybody for sure.
Right at the get-go, it has this, you know, wide-angle establishing shot from the viewing her apartment from the top down on one of the corners. And you can see all the cops and the crime tape, and there's, you know, cops analyzing something in the corner, another cop looking at something on the ground like you would see at a crime scene. And it feels very Law and Order.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think of it that way. But yeah, it feels like they're going. You know what sometimes happens in these things is when somebody's being creative with a scene like this or music or anything, you find something as kind of a reference point. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't pull up like an episode of Law and Order. We're like, oh, establishing shot, zoom in, somebody walks past the cop line. Like that absolutely feels like something you'd see in a TV show.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if we could potentially get a chance to ask one of the cinematic designers about that, I'm sure that they had some inspiration from somewhere.
That would be amazing. I would love to do that.
So, but you know, I found these really interesting because it's not the typical action shots that we get in Mass Effect. It's slower pace. It's very thematic. It's dark. Mm-hmm. It's a little grimy, even though it's a very nice apartment. It feels like somewhere where someone was just killed, even though Liara wasn't killed there.
You know,
she escaped.
This is a really interesting point, and I don't think we bring this up much on the show, is that different sections of the games, and especially different DLC, kind of are tonally different from each other. Like, this gives more of that, like, film noir, detective show kind of vibe, whereas, like, Citadel DLC has much more of a, like, kind of comedic wrap-up of the show.
Felt like Friends.
It feels more like Friends. Or you know what that reminds me of is, did you ever watch Stargate, the Stargate TV show?
No.
So Stargate, another sci-fi show, has some very serious episodes, but every so often they would have these, like, goofy episodes where they were more character-focused, and that's what that feels like. It feels like that was inspiration for something like that. This has a very different kind of feeling, and it's specific to the tone, I think, that they're going for here. This, like, mystery.
Yeah.
It's kind of more plodding, a little bit darker, a little bit more sinister, maybe. Like, that kind of tone. And it's neat that the games can actually shift like that, and it still works.
And with a name like Shadow Broker, that makes sense, right? That this DLC would feel like that. Whereas, like, you were talking about it, it came to mind, the Leviathan DLC feels like X-Files.
Yeah. Everything kind of has its own tone. Like, they're pulling from the best other stuff that was around at the time in order to fit it into the game.
Yeah. So, and then of course we get this new Asari character introduced in this scene, who's Tella Vasir. She is a Spectre, which is interesting that we find a Spectre at a crime scene with cops, where, you know, I'm interested in this because it's like a failed assassination attempt, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that seems like petty crime compared to what Spectres are known for investigating.
Right. Yeah. Like, why would a Spectre be here is the predominant question.
Right. And of course, you know, we know that it involves the Shadow Broker, but do the cops know that? How would anyone else know that in the immediate aftermath of a crime?
Yeah, they may not, and they may not even need to. I don't think the like, in that scene, you know, she just kind of walks past the line and is like, I already did. Like, I'm not here to explain my business to you. It's none of your business. I'm going to just do what I need to do because I'm a freak inspector.
So. And she's snarky about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So where did Liara go?
Well, that's kind of the objective here in the next part of the mission. You know, we're searching around her apartment for clues here and there. You know, we're looking at paintings, we're looking at statues, and all of this is to try and find some clues that she may have left behind specifically for Shepard, since the plan was for Shepard to meet her at her apartment. Mm-hmm. And here's what we find, among other things. We find a piece of Shepard's Onyx armor from Mass Effect 1, you know, the classic Mass Effect 1 armor look.
Yeah.
That Liara has apparently salvaged from where Shepard's remains were, and
which
then
may be foreshadow for the next Mass Effect game, that she does that again, because we see that clip of her holding the piece of armor.
Like, yeah, that, you mean the original video we talked about in episode one? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a callback or if it's foreshadowing for the future. There's been so much conjecture about that online. But what I do know is that that holding up the armor piece on a snowy planet that looks like Alcara, where the Normandy crashed, you know, it evokes that memory for sure. I don't know what it means narrative wise. No one knows what it means.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
They do tell.
But it does seem
if they do say
interesting
it,
that,
lying.
That there's a parallel between Liara holding piece of armor and the armor found in this location. I don't know.
And it's just once again, you know, a symbol of how much Liara cared about Shepard and how much she did while Shepard was dead. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and it's also, I don't know about you, but personally, I'd find it kind of creepy.
Yeah, I mean, she's not, I guess, yeah, it could be. I don't know.
I think it depends on how close you are to that person.
Yeah, yeah, it depends on, it's almost like there's an unspoken allowance for things like that in relationships. And I don't know. Yeah, it's, I guess you could debate that.
Well, because I'm like internalizing it where if I'm Shepard, I'm seeing an emblem of my death in front of me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but that may be part of her investigating the death. Like, there might be very tactical reasons for having that and just not getting rid of it yet. You know, like, I mean, how many times do you put something in your office and you're done using it and it just kind of sits on your desk for like the next month before you go, oh, I should probably put that somewhere. You know, like,
well, it's true, but she did display it. Like, it's in a frame display.
Well, there you go. Okay.
But okay. So number two, we also find a very large framed painting of, drum roll, please, Ilos.
We just talked about Ilos.
We did. And I found this really interesting that, once again, there is this, you know, association between Ilos, you know, which is known for Prothean ruins, and Liara. Ilos, incredibly important to the lore of Mass Effect, as we talked about, and now we're seeing it associated with Liara. So this, you know, the subtle insinuation there, of course, because she's an archaeologist, she would have been very interested in it anyway. But we can't overlook the fact that canonically, Shepard could have chosen her to go with them there. And so very interesting. And the way that Shepard says Ilos when you interact with the painting is very nostalgic. It's like Ilos.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very sentimental. And then finally, we find a framed bedside photo of the Normandy SR-1, the one that was destroyed.
The original. Yeah.
We find it. Yeah. Next to her bed. Shepard picks it up. And while Shepard's touching it, it reacts to Shepard's biometrics and it changes. The photo on the frame changes. So you're like, oh, this is really interesting. So this message was only meant for Shepard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, of course, sentimental because it's another emblem of their past before Shepard's death. And that kind of clues us in to keep looking at the Prothean artifacts that she has there, which ultimately leads us to a hidden OSD, an optical storage disk. So Liara was indeed trying to conceal a message for Shep. And the information on that disk leads us to somewhere called the Dracon Trade Center. It's this tower in Ilium. And we get there, we take a cab with Fasir, we get there, and the seventh floor, I think it's like three floors, immediately blow up as soon as we get there. Just explosion. Michael Bay style.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it feels like a show, like a programmatic thing where like the cops arrive just at the wrong time when this thing happened, boom, 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 you know, or whatever.
How can this be?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And then Tela Vasir, you know, flies away to do her Spectre thing. So at this point, we're just assuming that it's, you know, okay, clearly Broker's agents are after Liara. And they aren't afraid of collateral damage because the Shadow Broker is like this seedy, not so good guy. but after we fight through these multiple levels of enemies, we go into a separate room and we find Liara's informant called Saket. And he's been killed. He's been shot and killed. And then we also see Tela Vasir standing next to him.
Damn it. If I'd have been a few seconds faster, I could have stopped them.
Is this Saket?
Must have been.
No sign of that data Liara talked about. Looks like a dead end.
Speaking of which, did you find your friend's body?
You mean this body?
Liara. Something I should know?
This is the woman who tried to kill me.
You've had a rough day, so I'll let that slide. Why don't you put that gun down?
I saw you. I doubled back after I left. I watched you break into my apartment.
So what? You were just using me to find the message?
Nothing personal, Shepard. Just needed a little help tracking down Liara.
Once she had my location, she signaled the Shadow Broker's forces. They bombed the building to take me out. She found Sakat, took his data, and killed him. I'm guessing she's still got the disc on her.
Good guess. Not that you'll ever see what's on it.
You pure blood pet!
And then battle happens. You mean this body? That's such a good line.
You pure blood peach. Yeah, I know it. That's so, that is like, once again, you know, and thank you again to Rapid Retrospect Games for that clip. It helps us telling these, analyses of the lore, but
yeah, if we had to go, you know, actually make each of these clips for every single episode in the show, it would take forever because we'd have to play the game up to the point where we need the clip and then it would
and
be
even
very
with
difficult.
A save editor, but
yeah,
but yeah. Yeah. So there's this really dope chase scene that happens right after that. And of course there, you know, just to address that clip, this is the big reveal where Vasir is like, yeah, I'm not a good guy after all.
Twirl my mustache a little more.
I do want to congratulate whoever voice tell of Vasir. That is stellar voice acting in that scene, you know, mm-hmm. About, you know, like, I forget what the line was, you know, speaking of death or something like that. It's delivered with such nuance, you know?
Yeah.
But there is this really dope chase scene that happens right after that fight where Shepard tackles Vasir out of a window and then Vasir breaks the fall with biotics. So these are all like new animations that we haven't really seen before. And it's pretty interesting. And then after Vasir breaks the fall, Shepard kind of just thuds. And you can tell that hurts. But then Liara, like Vasir runs off, and then Liara just runs right past Shepard on the ground and just keeps in full pursuit after Vasir. She's got blinders on. Like, yeah, she is honing in on Vasir because she is not about to let her go.
But
not after the pure blood bitch comment.
Well, there's that, but it totally tracks with the events from the comics that we talked about and how we saw her kind of grow as a character into somebody who was more bold and just driven. Right? Like that, this is a complete reflection off of that.
Oh yeah. And she doesn't rush to Shepard's aid, whereas I think the Liara from Mass Effect 1 may have, you know.
Yeah.
This is a definitive moment in how we're seeing Liara change, and it's startling to us because, right, the last game we played was Mass Effect 1. Then we go to Mass Effect 2, and immediately she's like this. So it's surprising to us, but we need to constantly keep in mind that there have been 2 years that Shepard was dead, and in that time, Liara has had so many traumatic instances happen. So we're getting this vision that Liara is independent now, and she's making this choice to pursue her attacker over doting on Shepard.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a character evolution.
Yeah. So we ultimately catch up and then Vasir jumps in a sky car, yeah, escaping again and triggering this Fast and the Furious type chase. But we'll get into that after the mid break.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
So thank you to everybody who helps support this show, all of our patrons, everybody who reviews it, everybody who shares it with their friends, all of that stuff. And we don't have any new patrons to shout out this week, but if you decide to sign up at patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast, you can get ad-free episodes, t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of fun things, and we'll shout you out when you sign up. But we do have some Shepherd tier patrons who get shout outs every week. Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosino, and William are our current Shepherd tier patrons. Thank you so much for your support, and to all 61 of our current patrons, thanks for being here. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read those out on future episodes of the show. You can rate the show on Spotify. 5-star reviews on there are extremely helpful, and you can share it with your friends. All of that is awesome. So thanks to everybody for your support. Let's get back to the rest of Liara's Shadow Broker story. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so we were at the epic car chase. The villain escapes. Dun, dun, dun.
For now. But, you know, we're racing through the bottomless skyline of Ilium, and we're passing by a ton of neon lights and line after line of hover cars and traffic, which is funny because it's now a three-dimensional road, but there's still traffic. And it feels very Blade Runner-esque here.
Right. Or scenes from Star Wars are a little bit like this, too.
Yeah, Star Wars as well. It has a decidedly cyberpunk feeling to the scene. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very cool what the developers did with this scene. You know, it's a first for Mass Effect in a car chase. I can't remember controlling a sky car in a chase in Mass Effect before this. So definitely a cool thing because it's morphing gameplay with cinematics here.
Yeah, it's cool. You can kind of see the evolution of the games as you play through them with all the new stuff they add in each of the different games or each of the DLCs even.
Yeah, and so here's also where we learn that Liara is an awful backseat driver. Because, you know, she, like, Shepard is almost crashing, or if you're a terrible driver in Mass Effect, crashing all the time, and Shepard, or Liara comments on it a lot, like, you know, and Shepard's constantly like, oh my God, give me a break, you know, which this doesn't surprise me about Liara being a backseat driver. She seems like she likes to be in control, especially by this point in Mass Effect 2. And I found control to be a constant theme in Mass Effect. You know, can we control our enemies? Can we control ourselves?
It's even
what does
an
it mean
ending
to control something?
Right. Yeah.
Can
There's
we control ending?
Control ending. Sure.
Yeah. But then again, you know, with Liara, maybe she has just spent enough time with Shepard and the Mako that she's like, I don't trust your driving. You're a terrible driver.
Yeah, possibly. That could be it.
So, yeah. And then ultimately we catch up with Vasir. We're like neck and neck with Vasir. And then Shepard decides that it's time to play Demolition Derby.
I'm sure most of our listeners have seen this scene before, so you might have a picture of it in your mind, but there was no dialogue on that.
It works best
for the audio, for the visual version of this on YouTube. But the sound effects are cool. The way the cars sound, the crashes, it's all very visceral.
Oh, yeah. And it's this high action shot that, once again, you know, we haven't seen this kind of action in Mass Effect 2. to this point, you know, and this must have been tough to animate. We've never been in control of a car before in the series, so I cannot imagine what it was like trying to animate a car crash. Maybe this was one of those circumstances in games where developers repurposed, like cleverly repurposed animations from something else.
Yeah.
Or because when they have to make things bespoke from scratch, it takes so much longer.
Right. We learned a lot about this on a previous interview. If you haven't seen, go back and look. They talked about how so much of that content is reused or fudged in ways where certain things are off the side of the screen or occluded by something else, so you can't tell that like somebody's hovering or whatever. I would imagine that there was a lot of work put into the scene in particular.
Speaking of repurposing animations to fit the context of the scene, I noticed one earlier when Televisier is mentioning the bullet holes. She says something about how she gave the cops a gold star for finding the bullet holes, and then she points over her shoulder with her thumb in a backward motion, and she's pointing directly at the bullet holes, but she's pointing with her thumb, and I've seen that animation in Mass Effect before. Uh-huh. So it was just a clever repurposing, I think, of that animation for Visir in that moment.
Yeah, Day in
chat who animated that.
Day in chat says they definitely reused that in 3 during the coup.
Oh yes, yes they did. Yeah. Really cool scene. You know, Visir crashes on the roof of this Asari resort or club. And, you know, we chase after her. We battle through some more waves of enemies as we're navigating this hotel. And then we get to one of the rooms that has one of mine and many other people's favorite lines of dialogue in here. It comes because there is a saucy advertisement for the same hotel on the screen. And I've been informed after the fact that this is actually a Twin Peaks reference. This advertisement. So anyway, the hotel is called Azure, and Liara explains. Here's what she says.
What kind of hotel is this?
Azure. It's a luxury resort with an exotic edge. Azure is slang for a part of the Asari body in some areas of Ilium.
Where?
Mainly the lower reaches, near the bottom.
I meant where on the Asari body.
So did I.
It's a good line. It's such a good line.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. So now we have confirmed that Azure is a slang for Asari genitalia.
That Asari poontang.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought I'd hear you say poontang. My day is made.
Yes.
It's Friday.
Hey, dude, we started out this episode going firmly into M territory. So why not?
When we do our episode 200 on the best moments of the past 100 episodes, I'm choosing that clip. I'm telling you right now. You know, this is a solid joke, but I'm also surprised at how Liara has lost a lot of her innocence, right? Or shame or awkwardness or however you'd want to put it. Mm-hmm. Because the Liara from Mass Effect 1 would never tell Shepard this.
Yeah, she would have probably blushed and said, "Oh my stars," instead. "Oh my stars, Shepard, I can't explain that to you." Yeah.
This mission has been exhausting. I need to go refresh in the powder room.
I need a glass of water. Excuse me. Yeah.
And she's a mess back then, right? Even when like Shepard takes something to mean something that she said as possibly flirting, she's like a mess back then. But then 2 years later, no problem talking about Asari genitals.
Yeah, very
genitalia.
Just like matter of fact. No, that's exactly what I meant. Like, period. Yeah. I take it we catch up with her once and for all, maybe?
Yes. And I love this short little villain conversation here. So, excuse me.
Bless
wow.
you. Wow.
Check this out, this conversation, and listen closely. Listen very closely here.
Hey, you! Come here. What's your name?
Mariana.
Mariana, you want to live, don't you? Tell those people that you want to live.
Please.
We'll get you out of here safely, Mariana.
Well, that's good to hear. All you had to do was walk away. Now it gets ugly.
Please, I have a son.
A son? I hope he gets to see you again. I've heard losing a parent is just horrific for children. Scars them for life.
I'm going to end you, Fazir.
It's okay, Liara. We'll handle it. The usual way.
You want Mariana's little boy to grow up without a mommy, Shepard? Thermal clips on the ground now. Power cells, too.
Is that it?
What?
Vasir, I sacrificed hundreds of human lives to save the Destiny Ascension. I unleashed the Rachni on the galaxy. So for your sake, I hope your escape plan doesn't hinge on me hesitating to shoot a damn hostage.
You're bluffing.
Now, Liara.
Now, Liara, it's kind of, that's, I get the reason why he says it, it's so the audience knows, so we as the gamers know that Liara is the one making the table hover, like, I get it, but it's a little bit like, hey, we're about to attack you, like, yeah, you know?
Broadcasting your attack, yeah, it's right. Very anime. So while Shepard is stalling, you know, Liara is levitating this table out of Vasir's view, and then Liara biotically pelts Vasir with it. Vasir gets twisted teed, for those of you who remember that amazing video. But somehow, the hostage, who Vasir has in a headlock, does not also get hurt by this, I don't know, I'd venture to guess 40-pound table, 50-pound table, yeah, getting hurled at possibly faster than light speeds.
Yeah, well, they are, it's just that good with their biotics. That's just it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, let's back up a second in that clip. This is really why I chose this clip to talk about. First of all, thank you to Gamers Little Playground for that clip and the next ones. But this clip is, Vasir says, oh, you have a son. Something along the lines of, it would be terrible for him to grow up without you. I hear losing a parent scars a child for life. Something like that. Mm-hmm. This is when Liara jumps into the conversation and says, I'll end you.
Yeah, and personal. This is now personal. Well, right?
For the longest time, I didn't even realize that. You know, yeah, playing through, you don't think about these things too much. But Liara jumps in, and I just kind of dismiss these three words as like a good back and forth classic action movie kind of pace of dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is a very typical action movie kind of scene. You know, the villain takes a hostage. You've got a hostage showdown. How do you break it? Does the villain kill the hostage? Like, what happens, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I realized, you know, you start analyzing the dialogue and I realized, no, this is actually excellent writing, because why would Liara get really heated right then? And well, because she lost Benezia. And I think Vasir knows this. Vasir is a specter, knows a decent amount about Shepard. It would only make sense that Vasir also learned about Liara, especially if Vasir was tasked with hunting down Liara. Mm-hmm. So for Vasir to say, oh, you have a son, it would be terrible for him to grow up without you. You know, I hear losing a parent scars a child for life. There is just so much subtext going on between Vasir and Liara.
Yeah.
And Shepard's just kind of in the middle of it.
Right. It's like the words are daggers. Also, being Asari, maybe even there's a cultural connection to understanding that relationship.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, the fact that Vasir didn't hesitate to call Liara a pureblood before, mm-hmm, it seems like there's some genuine disdain there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do fisticuffs, right? And we win. Right? So where's the story go after that?
Yes, you know it. We win. We win the boss fight. And if you don't, you don't progress past that part of the game.
Then you lose. Yeah.
Vasir confirms that she was working for the Shadow Broker afterward. She has a few words, you know, in a death scene, you know, like, before she, you know, expires. And Shepard astutely points out that means that Vasir sold out the council. But then Vasir counters on her deathbed, you know, saying the arrangement is actually two-sided here. And she tells Shepard that the broker has given her a great level of intelligence that has saved lives over the years. And I can see how the intelligence, the security game, it's a dirty game. Mm-hmm. Everyone in it is going to have an agenda, especially the Shadow Broker. So Vasir was basically saying that, you know, the ends justify the means, which should be the official slogan of the Spectres at this point.
Right. And that tracks with real world stuff, too. It's not like we haven't seen, you know, groups that deal in intelligence do terrible things for seemingly good reasons in our own world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just sadly too common. And everyone who decides to stick by the rules and the ethics is labeled a Boy Scout.
Right. And is predictable because, oh, well, you're going to follow the rules. So I know exactly what you're going to do so I can counter that. Right. There's that whole angle on it.
Right.
Liara has to have thoughts on this whole thing, right? Like,
she does. And, you know, we talk with her directly after she retrieves some data from Vasir. And this conversation, there is just a serious beat change for the whole DLC and Liara as a whole in Mass Effect 2 here.
Eliminate the Zoni and retrieve the data. Civilian casualties, not a concern.
Vasir's dead.
I'm putting the data through to the Normandy's computers. We can be at the Shadow Broker's base in a few hours. He'll know about Vasir before long, if he decides to kill Farron.
We'll get Farron out of there alive, Liara. I promise.
I know. You're here to help. Just like always.
That's not a good thing?
When we first met on Therum, you saved me from the Geth. You fought a Krogan battlemaster while I cowered. Now you're doing it again. And I'm still leaning on you for help.
That's what friends do, Liara.
I can get us there based on Sakat's data. The Normandy's stealth drive will keep them from detecting us. The Shadow Broker's agents are still shooting their way through Ilium. With luck, they won't notice we've left until it's too late.
That's a little cold. They killed innocent people.
You know what I mean.
Do I? When I hit the ground back at the Trade Center, you went after Vasir without a backward look.
A little fall wasn't going to kill you. I had to stay on Vasir. I had to stay rational, make the call, like I did with Sakat.
That's Vasir's fault, not yours.
Sakat had no idea what the stakes were. I put him in harm's way to get the data I needed. I got him killed. And I'd do it again. But from here on out, things will be simple. Get in, get Farron, get out. And kill anyone who tries to stop us.
That's it?
That's it.
Will you just stop for a second? We'll be jumping several light years. There's time to talk.
About what?
You haven't been the same since I came back, Liara.
What do you want me to say, Shepard? That I mourned you? That I feel guilty because Farron got captured? I made mistakes. I lost people. I helped get you back. And I want to do the same for Farron. I'll sit and talk once he's safe. Until then, enjoying the scenery is an insult to the man who saved both of us.
The music here really makes the scene, as it does so many times.
It does.
Right? But, like, obviously the voice acting is wonderful. You combine that with the music, and it's hard to watch stuff like this and not get a little bit of goosebumps, you know? Just be like, oh, it's a meaningful moment. Oh, she's so driven, but he's trying to pull her back. Like, ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
You see Shepard here trying to make that connection that Shepard had with Liara in Mass Effect 1, whether or not that was just them being close friends and allies or something romantic. And that music is Vigil, by the way. That's the Vigil track. It's the same song that plays on Ilos. There's Ilos again. Mm-hmm. And it plays in Mass Effect 1's main menu. So not only is it a track that's synonymous with Mass Effect as a game at this point, but it's now also becoming associated specifically with Liara.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I have multiple thoughts at the same time, but we need to keep going.
Yes, yeah. And so Shepard brings up why at the Dracon Trade Center, Liara kept running and left him there when he fell. And now we are once again seeing how Liara's entire mindset has shifted since we knew her in Mass Effect 1. He addresses it. She says, you know, I had to catch her and you were fine anyway.
Right, right. And this callback to that moment that we brought up earlier and noted that like she wouldn't have done this in the past. She's different now. And he notices
and a
too.
Little bit more callous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just the way things play out. You know, she's changing as an individual. And you'll notice if you're listening along, you'll hear it. But if you're watching, you saw it. But you saw the three interrupts, three Paragon interrupts that you can take. Well, by taking these interrupts, Shepard keeps trying to address the elephant in the room. And Liara keeps trying to avoid it. And Liara's literally walking away from Shepard after every interrupt. Well, personally, I think that this is, you know, Liara's avoidance and Shepard's insistence. I think that this is equal parts on Liara's part, survivor's guilt. But she also knows that if she opens up that wound in her mind about, you know, let's address the elephant in the room, Shepard, how I've changed since you died. If she opens up that wound in her mind, I think that, you know, she knows that this is a whole long traumatic conversation where she may not be able to staunch the emotional bleeding. And she just doesn't have time for that right now.
Yeah, it feels very emotionally guarded. Like, she just doesn't. She knows if she opens those doors, everything's going to flood out.
Yeah, and there's no time. Got to go and rescue Farron. Get in, get out. You know, get in, get Farron, get out. And again, that gives us some insight as to how she views this mission. You know, she talked before about wanting revenge on the Shadow Broker, but clearly the more important part for her is rescuing Farron. It's not just killing the Shadow Broker. If the Shadow Broker stands in their way, okay, then she will kill him. But yeah, it's not like she's going to go out of her way. She's doing this to get Farron.
Right. And she's so brutal about it. She's like, kill anyone who stands in the way. Just like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very renegade, very dark. And that's why, like, if you're a Paragon Shepherd and you've seen Liara in Mass Effect 1 and you want to stay Paragon, watching this kind of corruption of her innocence is a little disconcerting.
Yeah, no, it's so well done, though. It's a wonderful twist on the character that you don't expect moving from the first game to the second.
It really is. And, you know, I actually reached out to John Ebinger, the cinematic designer we talked to before about Morden scenes. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he helped animate some of this exact scene where Liara is talking with Shepard and they're having the very emotional back and forth. And I asked him about it, and he told me that he remembers this conversation where I'll just quote him. He says, you know, I remember the conversation where you're walking with Liara to go to the car after you defeat the turncoat. And at the time, we had never done a walk and talk conversation that was able to integrate interrupts because it required a high degree of staging or camera choreography that we usually couldn't afford, along with the design goals around when and how long an interrupt state could be active.
That's so interesting. There's so much to this that you just don't know as the player. You know, so many times people comment about things on the internet and they think they know how game design works. And every time I talk with somebody or hear a quote like this, I learn that I don't know how game design works. There's so much more to yeah. it. Yeah.
The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything.
It's just knowledge in general works like that, right? The more you know, the more you know what you don't know.
Yeah, and this was really interesting, especially for players who remember playing through this, and those Paragon interrupts flash on the screen so quick, mm-hmm. like it's rapid fire, and if you're not like on the controller right away, you're gonna miss it, or you're gonna miss one of the three that John told me he programmed in there, and it's. Maybe this is an explanation as to why those had to happen so quickly, because it almost seems like the interrupts are tied to the character's physical, like spatial surrounding and where they are, like geographically in the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a well-designed scene too, the way that she keeps walking away and then the interrupts happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And the interesting part of this scene too is that John says that this proved by integrating the three interrupts in the walking and talking sequence that this proved it was replicable for future scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this set a precedent, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. It's neat how that works. You know, they make something work in one situation and they're able to use it and they push it further on later ones. And so, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and let's also talk about the lighting in that scene. The lighting on Liara's face is so gorgeous. And like you see, it's just more clear than it ever has been before. I mean, this is, I liken it to, you know, those 1940s and 50s movies where the lighting on all of the actresses' face is so soft and golden.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. It's non-realistic white, but, you know, lighting. It's all for mood. It's not because that's what the lights in the room would actually look like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And at least in the Legendary Edition, it looks like there are some extra tweaks as well, because Liara's eyes have never looked so blue.
They're so blue scene. And they're so reflective. Like they look like you can see the reflection of the lights behind yeah. Shepard, like in her eyes.
And Liara herself looks extra blue.
Yes. Babidi babadao.
Dabadi dabadai. Yeah. And I promised one very kind YouTube commenter that I would talk about on the show how blue Liara is. And I'm fulfilling my promise. It is pertinent. So thank you for bringing that up to me. It's very kind of you.
That's before we started this episode, Sam and I were talking about comments on YouTube videos and reviews of podcasts and things like that, and how you get so many good ones. And then every so often you get like these just sideways ones or just really insulting things. And it's just sometimes it's tough being a content creator, but you promise to follow up on the blue conversation. That's great.
Right. Yeah. For context, someone had said, you know, about the Ilos thing. Oh, what a mystery that you guys have uncovered. Next time, talk about how Liara's blue. As it just so happens, that is pertinent. So again, yes. Thank you for bringing it up.
She's extra blue in this scene. So I'm sure that person
is
probably watching to the very end of the very next video in order to make sure that we bring this back up.
Probably not going to watch our videos anymore, but if they are, then thanks.
Yeah, right. It becomes a wonderful joke. All right. Well, I guess that's it for the whole Shadow Broker section of Liara's story, or is it? Where are we going next?
Well, that's just half of the Shadow Broker DLC. You know, we have another latter half of where we go when we track down the Shadow Broker on Hagalaz and the, you know, if you remember that Shadow Broker ship that's floating in the storm. There's all the awesome lightning sequences that are happening during the combat. Mm. Yeah, we have all of that to talk about next. And we might have a special guest coming on the show here soon.
Very cool. So again, I've tried to hurry up the Liara story into finishing, and yet we still have more episodes to do. Who would have guessed?
Liara fans are in euphoria right now. Everyone else is like, Jesus, guys, come on.
Right. And somebody is clearly commenting on this video right now saying, Tom doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 blah. Or he makes dumb jokes. Hate that guy. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Internet.
Yeah.
Well, this Whatever. Has been fun. This has been super fun getting back through this, reliving the story. And I can't wait for the next part. And Sam, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
You know, I am still streaming my canon playthrough, my personal canon playthrough of Mass Effect. I'm in Mass Effect 2. I'm almost toward the end of it, actually. And that's on Saturdays. I've also taken up streaming Fallout 4 because I've been playing it anyway, and I noticed that some of my community wanted to watch me stream it. So I've been streaming Fallout 4 on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And of course, you can find me on Twitch at N7TheLegend, same handle on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out Sam's stuff. Go check out my stuff. I do other lore casts. Everything's at robotsradio.net if you want to find all that stuff. My shows, a bunch of other shows on the network. There's lots of awesome content, especially if you're listening on audio platforms. But if you're into Fallout because of the TV show, go check out the Fallout Lorecast. I have almost 300 episodes where I explain the background to that world in detail. And if you like the style of the show, I think you'll like that as well. But thanks for tuning in, everybody. Chat, thank you for being here. We'll be back next time. And I'm looking forward to a really fun interview coming up soon. So make sure you tune back in for that. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up.
Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.